It's Pastor Adam's Podcast.
Good day, my friends. It is a Wednesday, and we are back with the Pastor Adam's Wednesday Podcast Devo thingy, whatever you want to call it. And do I have a doozy of a podcast for you today? Pretty excited about it. And here's what it stems from. I have a friend, not anybody who goes to my church here, doesn't even live in my current state of South Carolina, has never attended a church I've ever attended, right? And I have a story about her, but I have not talked to her and asked if it was okay to use her name. So we'll call her Megan, okay? She's my wife's friend, and she's a very generous and loving person who puts others, you know, above herself all the time. She goes out of her way to encourage my wife when she's having issues and all that. She sends my kids gifts. She sends texts and well wishes to extended family members of ours. She's just all around a great person. So that kind of establishes the character of Megan, right? So months ago, maybe longer, I don't really know the whole story, but she met a woman at her church who was struggling. So Megan decided she would be a helping hand to this woman, right? She would be a friend to her, pray for her, talk to her, help out in whatever way she could. Well, this one nice gesture turned into months of expectations, being taken advantage of, and it's become pretty infuriating, mostly to me. Megan kind of laughs it off. I mean, she is like, you know, like, can you believe this woman? But she still continues to help, or whatever that may be, right? And I've seen many examples of this in my time. I've heard many stories of women like this that she's been helping that just continually take advantage of people. So this week, I heard how Megan checked in with this woman and offered to bring her, you know, dinner, because apparently this woman was in the hospital for a while. I don't know the whole story, whatever. So obviously, the woman takes her up on her offer, and she probably even said yes before Megan even finished. You know, Megan was probably like, hey, do you want me to bring you over dinner? And she's like, yes, and I already have my order ready. You know, it's like one of those things. So anyways, Megan asks her where she would like her to pick up food from or something like that. And the woman picks a pretty decently expensive place. Not anywhere reasonable that you pick. Like, I know that many times I've offered to bring people food and they're like, no, like they keep telling me no. And I'm like, it's going to happen. So just give me your order. And they'll pick somewhere probably cheaper than I would go. So then I would offer the next level up, something like that, right? Not this woman. She's like, I have the place in mind. I need you to go to this place and here's my order, right? And she had the audacity, you know, because Megan said, I'll get it for you and your husband. She had the audacity to put an order in with food for her adult son, who I think is like 27. And that would be like, I'd be like, I'm not buying for him. But Megan said to my wife, she was just glad it wasn't like a steakhouse because she was afraid it was going to be something like that. And I was like, that's so rude. And of course, Megan, go ahead. She gets the food and drops it off. I hear about this whole thing. And I'm like, no more. You're done. So I said to my wife, I'm like, get on Marco Polo, which is this app that they use to send video messages back and forth. And so I calmly sent her a message saying, it's over. You're done being taken advantage of. This woman knows what she's doing, and I'm over it. And if I'm over it, you need to be over it. And this woman's a full-time mooch. It needs to end now. Like, it was more than that. I said a lot, right? I haven't actually heard back from Megan regarding this message, you know, that I sent. And my wife hasn't mentioned it because she's the go-between. So I probably should follow up. So with that, I thought this will make a fine devotional because it's on a topic I think that we don't really talk about. So here we go. So let's start with this. We're going to follow me on this because it's going to make sense. The Christian life that we live is often described as a race, right? Hebrews 12:1 reminds us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sometimes the weights that slow us down, you know, in this race, in life, you know, from Hebrews, aren't always just sin. A lot of times it is, but sometimes they are people or patterns or even relationships that continually drain us and distract us from God's given purpose. Now, to be clear, Jesus calls us to serve others, to love deeply, and to forgive freely. I know that. I believe that. I subscribe to that, right? But he never asked us to allow others to repeatedly take advantage of our kindness or to manipulate our obedience. In fact, there are times in Jesus' own ministry where he walked away from people, not out of bitterness, but out of obedience to the Father's will. When the crowds tried to make him king by force, you know, in John 6:15, Jesus withdrew. When the Pharisees demanded signs to test him, Matthew 16, he refused and he left them. Even in his hometown of Nazareth, where people doubted his calling, Scripture said, and we're talking Matthew 13:58, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus discerned that not every need equals a calling, and not every cry for his help is an assignment from God. Sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is step back to release the people who continually reject the truth or misuse your generosity. So let's look at a parable to better illustrate this point I'm trying to make, right? So Jesus told a parable about boundaries in Luke 13:69 that I think makes sense to go through here real quick, right? So Luke 13:69, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and I'll plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. And I know you're probably thinking, what world does that have anything to do with what we're talking about, right? Well, that story shows both patience and accountability. God allows space for growth and repentance for one more year. But there comes a time when the tree that continues to take up space without bearing fruit has to be, you know, cut down. So when we're talking about relationships, that means there's a season of grace, but there's also a season of release. God does not call us to enable unfruitfulness forever. If someone continually refuses correction, drains your strength, or abuses your willingness to help, well, then it may be time to cut down that tree, to let them go and free yourself to focus on what God actually assigned you to do. Even the Apostle Paul learned this lesson. In Acts 15:36-41, Paul and Barnabas had a pretty big disagreement, specifically about John Mark. If you don't know who John Mark was, he was a young man who abandoned them during their ministry. It's a pretty big deal, right? Barnabas wanted to go back and visited all the cities that they had preached to. To, you know, see how things were going. You know, he brought this up to Paul. He's like, we should go do this. And he's like, and we'll bring John Mark with us and it'll be all good. And Paul was like, I don't think we should do this, especially with the guy who abandoned us before, right? Like, and so they did not see eye to eye on this. So Paul chose to part ways with Barnabas rather than being hindered again. But their split wasn't about hatred. It was about mission clarity. Sometimes separation is God's way of multiplying ministry rather than destroying it. Now, if we circle back around to last week's devotional topic, which I did called, it was on discernment. I think we need to use our discernment skills a bit more when dealing with people or relationships to know when it's time to, you know, walk away. And I've been there before. I mean, many believers struggle with guilt when they feel they need to step away from unhealthy people. We fear that we would appear unloving or, you know, maybe unchristian. But the Bible teaches us that true love is discerning. Philippians 1, 9 through 10 says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best." Love that lacks discernment becomes weakness, not Christ-likeness. In Matthew 7, 6, Jesus gave this strong principle. "Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." This isn't cruelty. It's wisdom. God wants us, He expects us, to recognize when our kindness is being abused. There's a difference between helping someone in need and allowing yourself to be taken advantage of. The first is compassion. The second is compromise. So we must allow the Holy Spirit to show us when to engage and when to step back, when to offer grace, and when to guard our peace. Romans 16, 17 gives clear counsel. "Watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them." Lastly, I want to be clear on this, because it may sound like, man, Pastor Adam's cold-blooded. No. But letting go of toxic or manipulative people doesn't mean we stop loving them. That's not what I'm saying here, right? What it means is we need to trust God to deal with them in His timing. We're going to release them, not to punish them, even though that's probably how they're going to take it, but to preserve what God has placed in us. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." When we continue to let others drain us, we rob God of energy, focus, and joy we need to serve Him and the things that He truly calls us to. Boundaries are not barriers. They're little invisible fences we put up that we need to protect our fruitfulness. So if you find yourself constantly bending over backwards for someone who only takes advantage, manipulates, or guilt trips you, remember this: Jesus did not die so that you could be enslaved to other people's expectations. He set you free to serve Him, not to be used by those who refuse to grow or take care of themselves. Paul's words in Timothy apply today. "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels." It's okay to say, "I've done what I can. I'm releasing to this person into God's hands." And when you let go of those who continually drag you down, you create space for God to bring people into your life who will lift you up, people who will sharpen you, encourage your faith, and walk beside you toward Christ. So hopefully this is going to be something that Megan hears, and maybe there's other Megans out there who are listening to her right now, be like, "You know what? That sounds a whole lot like the situation I'm in right now." And well, it's okay to release those people. Like, if you know when you're being taken advantage of, you have to know. And you just gotta, "Hey, I'm giving you, this is going into God's hands now, and He's much better at providing for you than I'll ever be." So yeah. So that's what I had for you today. Hopefully it struck a nerve with you. And please like, subscribe, comment, share, all that I usually say at the end of this stuff. And you have a great week, and I'll see you next Wednesday.